How wonderful it was to hear the congregation sing together, Go Tell It on the Mountain. We even had a lot of excitement going on as we sang it together, so praise be to God. You know that over the past couple of weeks, ever since the beginning of Advent, we have been preaching some messages beginning with the word why, W-H-Y. On our first Sunday of Advent, Pastor Nate spoke on why did Jesus become a man? And last week I spoke on why Mary. And this morning, we're going to speak upon why Joseph. All of this leading up to why the Nativity. Next week, Pastor Nate will be talking on a very important subject. However, we also have the film on Friday night, and you'll want to come to see that film. Bring others with you if you're able. It'll be wonderful to see the congregation, at least the people, fill this sanctuary for the movie on Friday night. Some goodies first. Movie following. Now, why Joseph? There are those who felt that the man by the name of Joseph in the New Testament is often referred to as the forgotten man of the Christmas story. Why Joseph? Joseph, the forgotten man of the Christmas story. We know that God chose this man, Joseph, to be the adoptive father of Jesus, his only son, God's only son, coming to this world to save the world from their sins. Author Howard Eddington writes this, "In the Word of God, Joseph stands silent. He is spoken to, he is spoken about, but not a single syllable crosses his lips. He's viewed by many people as just a bit player, an extra in the Christmas drama." We know better, of course, but that's the way he is often referred to. According to Matthew's gospel, Joseph was a person of royal blood, yet we know very little about him as he appears in the scripture. He seems to appear for a moment of time and then seems to disappear. We don't hear any more about him at all. Judging from Joseph and Mary's sacrifice at the temple, they sacrificed two turtle doves, which would indicate that Joseph, Mary, they were not rich in any way. This was the sacrifice that those of poor community would give as a sacrifice to the Lord. He would have been like the feel of wood. Now, Joseph was a carpenter, and when we think of a carpenter today, we think of someone who builds houses or works with wood. But in the first century, a carpenter was one who did construct buildings, homes, and other things. They not only excelled in wood, but also in stone as well. So when Joseph was a carpenter, not only did he build with wood, but he built with stone. And I suspect that whenever he felt the wood, he could just have that special feeling that carpenters have when they're able to use their hands to do what's so important. Or when he saw the stonework that he had completed, he would have been overjoyed by what he was able to do. I suspect that he, as a young man, was looking forward to marriage, to starting a family, to establish a good name for himself, not only within the community, but particularly within the synagogue. He was Hebrew, after all, and being important in the synagogue, well-respected in the synagogue, was very important to every young man. Here's a very interesting historic note. Now, in today's society, the bride seems to be the center of attention in a wedding. But during the first century in Israel, it was the groom who was the center of attention. And so I suspect he was looking forward to that day, looking forward when Mary would become his wife and they would live happily ever after. But then, in the midst of all this, something happened. Something divine happened. Something unexpected happened in Joseph's mind and in Mary's mind. What was the unexpected? The unexpected was that an angel appeared to Mary in her home. Mary was betrothed to Joseph. Things were going to change. Things were going to change for the world. They were going to change for Mary and for Joseph. Let us hear from the Word of God as found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, verses 39 to 45. We're going to read that passage because this is what happened after Mary received a visit from the angel. So let us hear the Word of God. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth was Zechariah's wife. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. But I'd also like to read from Matthew's Gospel. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning to read at verse number 18. Again, let us hear the word of God. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man, he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. He had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So this morning, we're going to look in a little deeper way into the life of this man who seems to have been the forgotten man at Christmas, the forgotten one. He will not be forgotten by us. We're going to look at 4 points this morning: Joseph's discovery of Mary's baby, Joseph's dilemma about Mary's baby, Joseph's dream about the baby, and finally, Joseph's decision. All important points in the life of this man. Joseph's discovery of Mary's baby. In Matthew's Gospel, we read these words. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Though engaged, there was no physical union between Joseph and Mary. That's the way it was. That's the way it should be. Yet here is Mary with child. How can this possibly be explained? It's very likely that when Mary told her parents what had happened, they would have a great deal of difficulty understanding, comprehending what this was all about. After all, it had never happened before. So they were concerned. I don't know all that Mary's parents had to say, but they must have been alarmed. They must have wondered. There must have been a lot of questions in their mind. According to Matthew, the engagement or betrothal agreement had been signed. Dowry gifts had been given. That was the custom of the day, and the friends and the family all knew that a wedding was going to come. It was going to be soon, and they were all looking forward to it. But Joseph discovered that Mary was expecting. Joseph's dilemma over Mary's baby. Again, Matthew tells us, because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He was not going to make it a public spectacle. He was going to be very gentle and very quiet about it all. I suppose there are a number of conclusions that people could come to in a situation like this. Perhaps there are conclusions that Joseph could have come to. Here's one conclusion. The first is that Mary had committed adultery. Now, we know that Mary was a fine, upstanding woman. We know more about Mary than we do about Joseph. And we know that she would want to be true to her faith, true to what she believed, and this would not have occurred. The second conclusion was that Mary was raped. Now, this didn't happen either, but this would be a conclusion that perhaps Joseph and others would come to. And we suspect that if Mary had been raped, then indeed she would have been so concerned about this, so upset by it, she would have shared this with her betrothed, or she would have shared it with her parents. That was conclusion one or two. But conclusion three is this was God's action. This was something divine that was happening. What was going on? This means that Mary was chosen by God to be the mother of the Messiah, just as she has said. It would be somewhat hard for Joseph to believe this, since it was beyond any kind of common experience. We know that Joseph was a just and a devout man. Now also, because he was of the lineage of David, because he was a devout Jew, he would follow his religion, and he knew that the people of Israel were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. He knew that the Messiah was going to come through David's line. Now, he didn't connect it all at this point, but all of these things Joseph knew. So he knew that at some point in their forward history that a Savior was going to be born, the Messiah was going to come. So what did he do? What could he do? Well, he could have divorced her. After all, that's what the law required. But he didn't want to do that, although he fully was understanding that not all... I'm sorry, he wasn't fully understanding all that was going on. He didn't want to publicly divorce her. He did not want to publicly condemn her. I think he must have loved her deeply. He didn't want her to be embarrassed. This was an embarrassing situation to them, to the family, to the community, but he didn't want to enlarge the embarrassment anymore. Therefore, he decided to simply set Mary aside. It would be a secret divorce. Joseph was willing to give up the woman he so dearly loved. Many years ago, before King George VI was on the throne, his brother was scheduled to be king, and he denounced the crown because of the woman he loved. Well, this is a different story. Joseph didn't allow his wife-to-be to be condemned publicly because this was the woman he loved. But now, a supernatural event. Joseph's dream about Mary, about Mary's baby. We read these words, "But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit.'" We note in this verse that Joseph received an explanation, an instruction, and a revelation. What was the explanation? Now, first of all, the word dream, in this case, means to have a vision while you were asleep, not while you were awake. So Joseph, when he was asleep, had this vision. When we hear the angel say, "Joseph, son of David," we see God's prophetical word being fulfilled and his providence being carried forth in the child that should be of the lineage of David. Through Joseph, he was not the physical father of Jesus. He was the adopted father, and because of his legal status, he was of the house and lineage of David, and therefore he was going to stand for this in his household, and that's why Jesus is reported to be of the line of David. The angel said, "Do not be afraid to take Mary home to be your wife." And this must have been a moment when all of the pressure that was on Joseph's mind must have dissipated. Maybe not fully, because he didn't understand everything that was going to happen ahead. But nonetheless, a supernatural event occurred. A supernatural event occurred when an angel appeared to Mary. Mary wasn't asleep. It was the daytime vision that she had from this angel. Joseph, on the other hand, was asleep, and he had this nighttime vision. Both were supernatural events. Both relieved the heart of Joseph when he finally understood what was going on. That was an explanation. What was the instruction? The instruction was, and you are to give him the name Jesus. And we discover this in verse 25. And then there was a revelation. What's the revelation? Again, we observe the angel's words. He referred to the prophet Isaiah's comment saying, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. So far, we've looked at Joseph's discovery of Mary's baby, Joseph's dilemma over Mary's baby, Joseph's dream about Mary's baby, and now Joseph's decision about Mary's baby. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. He gave him the name Jesus. He was obedient. What happened in Joseph's life illustrates what often happens in ours. The popular Christian writer by the name of Max Lucado, he said that Joseph was caught between what God says and what makes sense. Now think about it for a moment. Caught between what God says, this is what's going to happen through the angel, notice given to Mary, notice given to Joseph, and what makes sense. This divine birth was not making sense. The divine conception was not making sense to the human mind. But yet, it is what God says. Max Lucado continues. He said, Joseph didn't let his confusion disrupt his obedience. He didn't know everything, but he did what he knew. Now, this may be true in your life. Maybe the Lord has been speaking to you in some way. You don't understand it all. The Lord hasn't given you all the information. He will give it to you as required. But in the meantime, what is we do? But he did what he knew, and that's what we need to do. Joseph was chosen by God the Father to be our Savior's adoptive father, and as such, even though we don't know a great deal about Joseph, he played a magnificent role in the life of the Savior. A question has often been asked, and this was the title of the message this morning, why Joseph? To fulfill God's plan, God needed a man who was sturdy, stable, practical, yet sensitive to the voice of God. He needed one who would stand quietly with a young virgin who might have been the object of horrible ridicule, and yet was the one who carried in her womb the hope of the world. This man, Joseph, the forgotten one, he fit the bill. He was strong and compassionate. He listened to and obeyed the voice of God through the angel. He was able to lead Mary to Bethlehem and to the stable. He had the stamina to take Mary and the baby to Egypt until he was told to return to Israel. He was able to love and encourage the mother of Jesus. Joseph, as the spiritual head of his home, he was the teacher chosen by God to give Jesus his first lessons about the law of God, all the way from his infancy right through until he began his ministry. It was Joseph who stood by Jesus when he was 12 years of age and heard Jesus say that he was now about his heavenly Father's work. This must have been a dramatic moment in the life of Joseph. Joseph had been his adoptive father, had taught him all that he needed to teach him as a father to a son. And now Joseph, he understood, he knew that he had to step back because Jesus was now listening directly to his heavenly Father. Jesus was turning to God the Father, instead of to Joseph, his father. Joseph never spoke a word in the Christmas story, but what he did speaks volumes. Never spoke a word, but what he did speaks volumes. Now, here's a very important life lesson for you and for me. The most important thing that can ever happen to any individual, even to the least important people in the world, is to know that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, can take up residence in our life. He does not take up residence in the life of unbelievers. He only takes up residence in the life of believers. And if so, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ this morning, then you know that God has taken residence in your life by the power of his Holy Spirit. If you are an unbeliever, God does not reside within you. He is waiting for that moment when you will put all your trust in him as Savior and Lord. The important truth that you and I need to remember is somebody with a capital S, somebody who ever lived can come into the nobodies like Joseph and Mary and like you and like me, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. He desires to enter your life so that his Holy Spirit can guide and direct us from that day on, even to the point of living all eternity with him. Why Joseph? Why you? Why me? Because God, through Joseph, has a plan for absolutely every person born on this earth. Every person, but only those who put their complete trust in Jesus as Savior and Lord will ever fulfill that plan. Can God use me, you might say? And the answer is absolutely yes. I'm going to go back a number of years. A young man, a British student, was going to university studying engineering. And he was devoted to engineering, but he was also devoted to a motorcycle that he had. And he loved to ride the motorcycle in his spare time, as much spare time as possible, throughout the United Kingdom, throughout the English countryside. He desperately wanted to do this, but on one cold, miserable, rainy day, when he was on the motorcycle, he had an accident. And it was in a remote area, and he lay there for hours before somebody came to him. And because of this, he ended up in hospital, and when he was in hospital, he developed pneumonia, and the doctors gave him only 2 weeks to live. That was his story. That was it. His parents were missionaries in Angola, and months before, his father had written a letter, and the letter took some time to get from Angola to England, and it ended up, the letter found this man in the hospital. And when he was in the hospital, the letter began this way. Very beginning, "Dear son, only one life, 'twill soon be past. Only what's done for Christ will last." And that struck this young man in his bed. And he said this. These words so stabbed his heart that he gathered up his strength, pulled himself out of bed, kneeled down to pray, and prayed, "Lord, you have won. I now own you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And Lord, if you will heal my body, I will serve you anywhere, anytime, at any cost." Now, I don't like prayers that give a condition to the Lord. God, if you do this, I'll do that. But in this case, this man was so sincere that that's the prayer he prayed. That man was Stephen Olford. I met Dr. Olford about 40 years ago, a fine man, a great expositor of the Word of God. Many, many people came to Christ because of him. This man, Stephen Olford, is now in glory, and he's meeting many people for whom he was responsible for them being there because he preached the Word of God. Did you notice the words? "I will serve you anywhere, anytime, at any cost." I wonder if any of us are brave enough to pray that prayer. "Lord, I am willing to serve you anywhere, anytime, at any cost." Joseph and Mary, back when Jesus was first born, could not possibly have known about all the eternal things, all the supernatural things that were going to happen because of the life of Jesus, all the way down to where we are even today. On this third Sunday of Advent, I thank the Lord for the obedience of Joseph and Mary. And I, along with Paul the Apostle, offer thanks to Almighty God for his unspeakable gift. His unspeakable gift, Jesus to you, Jesus to me. Praise be to God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who became our Savior. Our Father and dear God, we praise you for this wonderful, unspeakable gift that you have given to the world. We are saddened to know that there are so many people throughout this world who do not turn to you, but we have turned to you. And Lord, we praise you. We look to you as our Savior, as the Lord of our life, and the one with whom we will share eternity. We praise you and we thank you, and we do so in your own precious name. Amen.